Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we've got an interview to kick off the show today. Without further ado, we're going to be talking to Scott Wright of NFLDraftCountdown.com. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing excellent. Thanks for having me.
No problem. We appreciate you joining us. I just noticed in the past couple of weeks that you've been doing these NFL Network spots on their Path to the Draft series. How long have you been doing that?
Last week was my first one, actually, and now tonight we're going to do another one. They're going to air. They had me take a different spot, so this will be my second appearance.
Fantastic. Great to see you doing that. Let's get right into some talk about some players that will be drafted here very shortly at the end of the month. I know Packer fans are absolutely infatuated with Boise State's Shay McClellan. Do you think McClellan is deserving of a first-round draft pick?
I think you can make that argument, and he's a guy who's really picking up a lot of interest here in the months leading up to the draft, and the player I've been comparing him to personally is Brooks Reed, who was a second-round pick a year ago of the Houston Texans and had a really good rookie season. And McClellan, I went back and looked, and he actually tested out very similarly in terms of the height, weight, 40-yard dash time, arm length, all the physical tools. And I actually had Greg Cassell from NFL Films on my podcast last week, and he's been with them for 33 years. He's seen a lot of football players over the years. And he said the guy McClellan reminds him of is actually Clay Matthews. So that's a pretty good comparison, too. And I'm sure the Packers, if there's a chance they could get another Clay Matthews on their roster, I'm sure they would be very excited about that possibility. So I think McClellan's going to be one of the guys in the mix for the Packers at the back end of the first round. And that's really going to be the start, I think, of a run on defensive ends / outside linebackers there. Late first, early to mid-second round, I think you have 6 to 8 guys kind of jockeying for position.
Let's keep right talking about him, about these potential 3-4 outside linebackers. I wanted to bring up Marshall's Vinnie Curry. Can he make the transition from defensive end, and can he overcome the notion that he faced a lower level of competition in Conference USA?
I don't see Vinnie Curry from Marshall playing outside linebacker regardless of scheme, honestly. He's a guy who's not blazing fast. He barely cracked a 5-flat 40-yard dash at the scouting combine, ran much better at his pro day, but he's not the fastest, most athletic guy. He's not the type of pass rusher who's going to terrorize a team off the edge. I think he's more of a 4-3 defensive end, to be honest, and he generated a little bit more momentum now after running better his pro day and is moving up draft boards again after disappointing at the scouting combine. But I think he's still a second-round pick. I'd be surprised if he stuck into the first round. And even if he did, I don't think he's a fit for Green Bay.
Your mock draft at NFLDraftCountdown.com, you have the Packers taking USC's Nick Perry in the first round. What is it that Perry can bring to the Packers?
Well, I think the Packers should be thrilled if Nick Perry is still available late in round one. I think you can make the argument that he's the most explosive edge pass rusher in this draft. And now he came out as a true junior. He doesn't have a ton of experience and didn't always play up to his physical tools in college on a consistent basis. But does he have the physical tools? I mean, he's 6'2 and 3/4, 271 pounds. He ran a 4.64. And he's that dynamic pass rush threat off the edge. And as we said, Green Bay definitely needs help at that position opposite Clay Matthews. So I think Nick Perry would be an outstanding fit for Green Bay if he's there. And I wouldn't be surprised if he even came off the board earlier.
Turning our attention to defensive linemen, Kendall Rias of Connecticut is a player who might be selected late in round one. What's your opinion of him?
He's a guy I'm really intrigued with, and another player that's kind of moving up draft boards here, has a little bit of late momentum. And when I went down to the Senior Bowl, the thought I had of him in my head from watching film was that, well, this guy's a quick, penetrating three technique. He's more of a pass rusher in the middle, a little bit of one-dimensional in that regard. But I was surprised with him down in Mobile. I watched him throughout the entire week, and he was a lot stronger than I and most others give him credit for. And not only did he show that pass rush ability and that ability to penetrate, but he also held his ground at the point of attack. And I was impressed with Kendall Reyes. And another nice thing about him is the versatility. He can play defensive tackle in a 4-3 scheme, but he can also play defensive end in a 3-4 like the Packers run. And that's another position where I think Green Bay could be looking for help. I mean, you look at some of their Johnny Jolly, certainly has his legal issues. I would not be at all surprised if they go for that 5 technique. You have a Mike Neal, who was a former second-round pick, who hasn't lived up to expectations, can't seem to stay healthy. He's facing a suspension now. So at the very least, Green Bay needs some depth along that defensive line, and I think they could maybe even use another new starter.
I wanted to see what you thought of two Clemson players, Andre Branch and Brandon Thompson. These are guys who should be gone by the end of round two or thereabouts. But what I want to know is, if they're so good, how did the Clemson defense give up 70 points to West Virginia in the Orange Bowl?
Well, disappointing is kind of Clemson's MO. I always say it's not a college football season until Clemson disappoints. And it seems like they're a program that always comes into the year of high expectations, but they find a way to lose a game that, or two that they shouldn't, and kind of takes them and keeps them out of that top tier of college football teams. But Andre Branch and Brandon Thompson are both talented kids, and they're both going to be gone by the middle of the second round at the latest. Andre Branch, another in the long line of pass rushers from that program, following in the footsteps of guys like Gaines Adams and Daquan Bowers. And Branch, what's intriguing about him is he's a really rangy, athletic kid. He's really high cut. He's 6'4 and a quarter, 260 pounds, but also very fast and athletic. I was surprised by how fluid he looked in the linebacker drills at the scouting combine. He did not looked uncomfortable in space at all, which really opened up a whole new world of possibilities for him in terms of being looked at by both 4-3 and 3-4 teams alike. So I think by showing that he could also play outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme, that might get him into the back end of the first round, to be honest. Brandon Thompson, not a flashy player. He's 6'2", 314 pounds, more of a plugger. I think he's more of a nose tackle in a 4-3 scheme. Could maybe play defensive end in a 3-4 scheme as well, like his teammate Jarvis Jones, who was a second-round pick of the Washington Redskins a year ago. But definitely more of a run stuffer. Has a little bit of pass rush ability, and he can penetrate and make some plays in the backfield, but I think he's going to be making a name for himself. The next level is more of a 4-3 nose tackle, and reminds me a little bit of a guy like Broderick Bunkley, who's bounced around a little bit, but now just recently signed a big deal with the New Orleans Saints.
To wrap things up here, seeing as we're based in Wisconsin, I wanted to bring up a Wisconsin player and one on the offensive side. We've talked totally defense here so far. Offensive lineman Kevin Zeitler, where do you think he ranks among interior offensive linemen?
He ranks right up there near the top. I think he's going to be one of the first three or four players off the board at his position. And this is one of the better offensive guard classes I've seen in quite a while. I think we could see as many as four, even five true offensive guards selected before the end of the second round. And Zeitler has a chance to sneak it into the back end of round one, to be honest. He's a big kid. He's 6'3", just under 6'4", 314 pounds. Not the greatest athlete, but very strong, nasty. He's a blue-collar kid. He plays with a mean streak. And you know what you're getting from Wisconsin Badger offensive linemen. And I think Zeitler fits the profile perfectly. And I think he could sneak into the back end of round one with a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers or maybe the San Francisco 49ers, where I have him going in my most recent mock draft. But even if he slips out of the first round, he's not going to last very long in round two.
Scott, thank you for your insight. It's very invaluable. You do a great job at NFLDraftCountdown.com. Looking forward to seeing your spots on Path to the Draft on NFL Network as well. And thank you much for joining Cheesehead TV.
It was my pleasure. Anytime.
All right. Sounds good. Scott Wright of NFL Draft Countdown joining us on Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. Great to have you all with us this morning. Great to have Scott joining us. Great to talk some Packers football. I'm joined today by our live blog directors, Jamie Jors and John Rahor, this morning. And that opens up a phone line now that Scott is gone. But if you want to call the show, talk about the NFL draft, talk about anything Green Bay Packers, the phone number is 347-352-0154. And I tell you what, I want to get this Packers talk in now, because the rest of the day, I'm going from Packers mode right now, and I'm full in Packers mode right now, no doubt about it. But I'm going to go, you know, be in Masters mode pretty quick as soon as this show's done. And the Brewers opening day after that this evening, or late this afternoon at least. What's it start? 3 p.m., I think. So busy day of sports here today that starts in the early morning and lasts all evening long. So, you know, but it's great, you know, the Masters hasn't started yet, or at least it's not being televised yet. And the Brewers is later today. So, you know, right now we can concentrate on the Packers. So, and I suppose it is appropriate that the Masters, that the colors, their logo is green and gold, right? That'll kind of ease me into the rest of the day. But anyhow, let's talk Packers. You know, it was really interesting on the social media this morning. I was talking about with several Twitter followers the supposed leaked NFL 2012 schedule. And I just took a look at it. You can go see the whole thing. They have the Packers schedule and then the whole NFL 2012 schedule, supposed, at LombardiAv.com. Another Packers blog out there. And it looks like a hoax. It doesn't look like it's true. But, you know, it's just fun talking about it, debating it. Everybody's waiting for the NFL draft schedule to be released. It'll probably be released within probably 2 weeks from now or so. You know, they usually do it in mid-April, right before the draft or so. But, you know, it's fun to talk about it. And you know, I just took a look at it this morning. I saw a link like leaked NFL schedule. Of course, I had to click, you know, just to look at it. I was looking at it and I'm like, holy cow, this thing is detailed. It's not just like a listing of the teams and where they played. It is right here we go. We are right at CheeseheadTV.com right now. John Rahor put it up over on Eat More Cheese, so go take a look at it there. You know, it's so detailed. It listed like all the times and the networks they were playing. I noticed they even, you know, took the time to put those division games at the end of the schedule. So, you know, at first blush, this leaked schedule looked, you know, almost credible. You're like, wow, I could believe this. This could be it. But then you start looking at it a little more closely, and then you notice the Packers have a stretch of four consecutive home games at midseason. And you know, I asked somebody out there on Twitter, I'm like, when was the last time the Packers played four consecutive home games? And it turns out it was like in the 1960s, 1963. And it was, you know, they hadn't even played home games back then, or, you know, true home games, because they would play at Milwaukee County Stadium at the time. So, like, the last time the Packers played four consecutive home games in Green Bay was, like, 1935. So, you look at that, and you're just, you scratch your head a little bit and be like, this true? I mean, would the NFL really schedule four consecutive home games? And they typically don't. I mean, it's... you'll see two for sure. It is pretty rare when you see three, and any team in the NFL play three consecutive home games, you know, nowadays. Not that it's not ever done, but I mean, it is a rare instance, and to do four is almost unbelievable, and that's why you start thinking like, nah, this thing ain't credible. And then I even got a reply from an employee of WFRV in Green Bay, Nate Goddard, I believe, and he said, you know, this can't even happen, because, you know, as a CBS affiliate, he kind of knows what's going on with between the networks and the affiliates, and he says, you know, the week one, there aren't going to be any 3:15 games. games on CBS because they've already got, you know, rights to televise. I believe it's the U.S. Open that week, and so they've got, you know, commitments to do that, and Fox will end up televising the home games that week. So, you know, there's just, like, issues with this fake schedule that don't even make it, you know, believable. Kyle Cousineau here says, I don't buy the Packers opening the season with two road games to open the season and two road games to close the season. Yeah, that's almost unbelievable as well. I mean, again, not to say these things can't happen, but the NFL tends to, you know, not do things like that, especially opening the season. They want everybody to get that home game within the first 2 weeks. You know, excitement's at its peak, and, you know, they want fans coming out to the games, and, you know, you don't want to have to wait till week three to play your first home game. You know, by chance that a team is 0-2 by that time, that really puts a damper on your home opener. So, you know, it's unbelievable. It's fun to talk about it, and it was kind of fun to poke holes in it, to tell you the truth. I liked playing sleuth. You know, I just take the first look at him, and I'm like, this could be true. But then you start pointing out things like this, and you're like, nah, this can't be true, and it's not. I mean, the thing is a hoax. But I was wondering, though, I'm like, what amount of time must it have taken to put this schedule together? I mean, it is, going beyond just the Packers schedule, if you go check out that whole post at LombardiAv.com, they've got the whole NFL schedule, every game being played in the NFL. I mean, to be able to do that and you know, list every team's game and list when they play, at what time, on what network, that's nearly impossible to do. I mean, I suppose perhaps maybe if you had the aid of computers and some sort of spreadsheet in which you can, you know, tell, you know, okay, these are the opponents, and, you know, they have to play the division opponents twice, and, you know, all AFC home games are televised on the CBS network, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's just like the time that would go into doing something like that to pulling off a hoax of that magnitude would just be unbelievable. I mean, I think I said it would take me days on end to come up with something that elaborate. Unbelievable that somebody would go to those lengths just to pull a little joke. And then somebody told me on Twitter that it's possible, like, Madden can do this for you. I'm not a gamer, so I don't know. And maybe, you know, the video game Madden 2013, it already has their, you know, 2013's not out yet, is it? Of course not. They're doing the voting right now, for which Aaron Rodgers is still a candidate. But the 2012 option, I'm sure, maybe has it lists future schedules. I don't know. I'm not a gamer, so I don't know the, you know, I don't know what Madden offers, but. So, interesting. Jamie George says, probably some basement dweller computer student who's very excited that we're all talking about their work right now. Probably. But what was it really worth it, the amount of time they had to do to create some sort of database? And like John Rayhor says, you got to plug variables in it. You know, just it boggles my mind the amount of time it would take to create an entire NFL schedule. But anyway, like I said, fun to hypothetically talk about this morning, because we should be getting the real schedule in not too long. So, but anyway, you know, there's not a whole lot going in the world of the Green Bay Packers today. When I was trying to create this morning's Packers Daily Links at cheeseheadtv.com this morning, you know, my top story today was the Packers scouting a basketball player, which is kind of interesting, actually. The Packers were apparently at the workout of a Cal State Fullerton basketball player. I believe his name is Andre Hardy. And so that was the top story today, because that was the only thing, you know, I found that we hadn't already reported on. You know, there's a lot going on with Bountygate right now, and, you know, the news released about Greg Williams and the appeals being heard by Commissioner Goodell. And we'd already posted on that a little bit, and I posted some more stories on the Packers Daily Links as well. But it kind of interesting, the Packers scouting a basketball player here. They could be looking at. So make sure to go to our daily links here at Cheesehead TV to check that out. So the Packers have gone this route before. They've scouted basketball players before. Not to say they've actually gone and signed primarily a basketball player. Or wait, didn't they? You know, it was a couple years ago. They signed the player from UW Lacrosse, so the kid within state, and maybe they had a little bit more intimate knowledge of him than perhaps other, you know, teams in the NFL, because he was an in-state player, and he didn't last on the roster for long. But just a couple years ago, they signed the basketball player from UW Lacrosse, I believe, is a tight end, and that's where most of these guys end up playing, is tight end, these basketball players they look at, but not all. In fact, you look at it, but the Packers just signed their third-string quarterback, Nick Hill. At one point, he was a college basketball player at Division I at Western Kentucky before he gave up his hopes and dreams of a basketball career to then focus on football. Kyle Cousineau points out on the live blog here. Former Duke point guard Greg Paulus was brought in for a workout at quarterback a couple years ago. Yes, I remember that as well. That was before Paulus decided to transfer to Syracuse and play out his final year of remaining eligibility as a quarterback, and never did quite make it, did he? You know, there was a lot of talk about Greg Paulus just because he was a very good basketball player at Duke, and a national champion, I believe, they won in his career there. But never ended up panning out as a quarterback, I don't think, at least. I wonder what Greg Paulus is doing nowadays. Anybody got to find out if Kyle Cousineau says he's an assistant coach for the Ohio State basketball team? Greg Paulus is? Interesting. I didn't even know that. Didn't know that. So, here we go. Mark says, watch for wide receiver Dale Moss of South Dakota State, former basketball player there. Interesting. So these basketball connections. Of course, JerMichael Finley, Packers tight end, was a very good basketball player back in the day. As I remember, and again, I'm just going off the top of my head here, but, you know, going back to his high school days and when he was being recruited to be a college player, he had the choice, I believe, to... He could have went and played basketball at the University of Arizona, was it? He actually had a scholarship offer or an offer to walk on, something like that. Again, this is just in the recesses of my brain here, I'm pulling this out, but decided instead to play college football at the University of Texas, and I can't blame him. It all worked out for him as far as, I think, making the correct choice of sport. Interesting, these connections here the Packers have had to basketball players they've recruited in the past. So we'll keep an eye on Andre Hardy. Of course, the Packers weren't the only team that watched him work out. I think there was 7 NFL teams there or something. This report actually came from former Packers beat reporter Tom Pelissero, who now works for the ESPN radio affiliate in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities. And he was drawn to the story because the Vikings were one of the teams at the workout as well. So anyhow, I
saw the question here from John Rahor on the live blog. Do the Packers still have that off-season basketball team? That's a good question. You know, they did for, you know, I even remember last year, last off-season, they were planning on playing games. The Packers put together a traveling basketball team. They would play at high schools throughout the state of Wisconsin, a charity thing that they would do. They, you know, proceeds would usually benefit some, you know, local charity or school charity or something like that. I remember when I was in elementary school, you know, we're talking 20 years ago now, the Packers, you know, traveling basketball team came to Krivitz High School in northern Wisconsin once. And I can remember going to that as a young kid and getting autographs. I think I still have them somewhere. I'm trying to remember whose autograph I got that day. I do have it somewhere. I got to go check that out sometime. But yeah, this has been a tradition for a long time. Long time. Packers have been doing this since the Lombardi days, the Lombardi era, I believe. You know, like back in the 1960s, they would do this. But I haven't this past season. You know, I said last year they were planning on putting together some dates, and then the NFL lockout happened and never materialized. But they were planning on doing it, and then this year I haven't heard anything. And right now is actually kind of the time of year where they do it. They would do it in kind of like April and May. It is kind of the time of year when they're getting together for their off-season workout program. And so I don't know. Maybe we'll be hearing about it very shortly at least. So if they do end up putting a team together. John Rahor actually lists the 2008 team, so just a couple of years ago. Ruvell Martin, James Jones, Sean Botiford, Oren Thompson, Tyrone Culver, Chris Francis, Tremont Williams. You know, it usually is. There's a lot of names you probably might not even recognize in that roster there. Sean Botiford, Oren Thompson, Tyrone Culver, Chris Francis. Those are guys who didn't get a whole lot of playing time with the Packers on the football field, so... you know, they some of the stars of the team actually, kind of stay away from that. Not to say all of them. I mean, there's some names you'll certainly recognize. There's James Jones and Tremont Williams. But, yeah, so it's kind of made up of a mix of your long shots as far as football guys go, and then a couple stars as well. Kyle Kuzno says that there was an alumni team last year made up of guys like Bryce Popp, Bill Schroeder, Chris Jackie, and Amon Green. So, yeah, I do remember that as well. Last year they did have an alumni team playing a couple games. So I wonder if they'll be doing that again. So be interesting to see if they pick that back up. Hopefully they do. It's always a nice thing that the Packers would do in the off season, you know, in the April-May time frame when there's not a whole lot going on with football. Something they can do, you know, raise a little money for charity. And, you know, thank the folks of Wisconsin, wherever they travel to, for supporting them and supporting the Packers. So, but, I mean, as far as Packers news goes, I mean, that's about it today. I mean, there's not a whole lot going on. You know, earlier in the week, there was a lot of chatter about the new Nike NFL uniforms. And, you know, free agency has really died down about now. Still waiting to hear if Dave Tollefson will sign with the Packers. Last I heard, he was making a visit to the Tennessee Titans. You know, he was in Oakland before that. He was in Seattle before he visited Green Bay. So there's teams interested in Dave Tollefson out there. So we don't know whether he'll sign with the Packers or not in free agency. You know, it's... Here, John Rahor says, is Dave Tollefson really worth all the attention he's getting? Good question. You know, obviously, you know, teams are interested in him enough to bring him in for a visit. And, you know, I suppose it doesn't hurt to have him in for a visit, certainly. So teams are, you know, seeing what, you know, perhaps working him out, you know, seeing what his athletic ability is like, at least, you know, how much does he have left in the tank? He's now a, you know, 5-6 year veteran of the NFL. So not that he's over the hill by any means, but he's no spring chicken anymore either. So, you know, we'll wait and see whether the Packers will sign Dave Tollefson. You know, it's for a while I was thinking, you know, the longer he's on the market, the better chance the Packers have. Well, now I'm almost thinking the longer Dave Tollefson is on the market, the less chance the Packers are going to sign him, seeing as, you know, they already brought him in for a visit. If they haven't offered him a contract already, you know, would they? So Tollefson is obviously, you know, trying to get the best contract he can or find the best fit that he can. for any NFL team out there that would want his services possibly in free agency. But you know, as far as the rest of this month goes, we wait for the NFL schedule release here in mid-April. We wait for the NFL draft in late April, and we'll be talking about that again some more next week. So make sure to tune in for the next episode of Railbird Central on Monday morning. So we'll be back then talking more NFL draft. Have a good weekend, everyone. Have a good Easter weekend. Enjoy. On behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caravu. And I leave you with a song called Barker by Keller Williams on Psy Fidelity Records. Enjoy the Masters. Enjoy Brewers opening day, everyone. We'll see you back here Monday. Go Pack. Go.